Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Good times today on a Thursday. Clint Sterner's in the building. As I see across the glass, if you're just joining us, Tyler is out. Tyler is at Disney, and in his place, you hear him every single night, Area 45. Chris Santiago, I don't need you to pull anything. Chris, a birdie told me somebody was talking a little trash about your boy again last night. I heard a birdie.
I have no idea, man.
You didn't hear nothing about that?
Nah, I didn't hear nothing.
Did you work last night?
I did.
You did the show. So you didn't hear nothing about that?
Mm-mm. All right. Mm-mm.
I'm just wondering, maybe, so you don't know anything about that.
Mm-mm.
Gotcha. I got you. All right, so you didn't hear that. Maybe my birdie's out here telling lies, Clint.
Well, let old Dirty do a little investigating here.
Oh, I heard.
You let old Dirty do a little investigating here, and I'm just going to tell you, Dirty's Daily may have the scoop.
All right, I heard the young man with the stash, he's not the one. I heard that the littler one ain't the one. But I heard some trash was being talked.
Boy wearing that medium ain't the one, huh?
And I don't think so.
Hey, old Dirty's Daily, you'll have your time. You just sit back.
Guy Gene said he heard nothing either. All right, let's see. All right, maybe
stay your ass plugged in, guy. You gonna hear something, GJ.
Maybe a little birdie told me wrong. All right,
a little birdie turned him wrong.
Yeah, maybe. All right, look, the Texans. They are obviously from before D'Amico Ryans took over. They have made great, great strides, and you hope they continue and. They have they've won the division 2 years in a row, obviously, won a playoff game, and have played in the divisional round. And this game was much more competitive than the one. I don't want to say much more. I guess, you know, it was a one-possession game at the half, but more competitive than last year's game against the Ravens. And this game against the Chiefs, more competitive. But in order to get past that, yes, Clint, they're going to have a good offseason. Like they did this offseason, right? Made some moves, went out and got, you know, Danielle Hunter, who was a big get for them and turned out to be a great player for them. Joe Mixon was a big get for them, turned out to be a great player, had real success in the draft, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I would say, with the exception of the very last game of the season and the games he was suspended, Alshire was a really good move for them. But they're going to need some people to take some steps up, right? Like that's what's going to have to happen. You've got to move forward, right? And some people have to take steps up. When the Eagles, right, they came back that the first time they went to the Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts took a step up. Smith took a step forward. That guys take steps up. Who are the guys that you see? Because some guys are maxed out, right? There's certain guys right here that you look at and you're like, hey, man, just play at that level, right? Like that's Foley Fatakasi. If he comes back, we probably reached his ceiling area, mm-hmm. right? Jimmy Ward, he comes back, probably reached his ceiling area. But who are some guys realistically that you can look at and you can text them in yourself on YouTube and Twitter, the text line? Who are some guys realistically that you look at and you say, this is somebody that the Texans can expect, depend on taking a step forward to help them?
Which side of the ball you mean start on?
I don't care. Wherever.
Let's start on defense because I think there's fewer. The defensive unit is better than the offensive unit. They're further along than the offensive unit. So I think there's fewer guys on that side of the ball. I think there's two, Ron.
You only got two on the defense side of the ball?
I got two on the that need to.
Need to? Or can? Go ahead.
Yeah, I factor in expectations. I factor in everything. Like need they need to, they can, and they should.
I got you.
Right? Jalen Petrie. Without a doubt, Jalen Petrie is that dude.
Like, he had a hell of a year.
He's got to stay healthy. He's got to continue to keep learning and growing and developing in D'Amico Ryan's defense in a way that he did this year. And I think this secondary goes to a whole nother level. When you look up and you've got Kalen Bullock, in the secondary at the safety position, along with the Eric Murrays and Jimmy Wards you mentioned. That's cool. Plug those guys in. But when you got Kalen Bullock, when you got Kamari Lassiter and Derek Stingley, if now you insert Jalen Petrie, who I think he's inserted, I'm just talking about a better version of Jalen Petrie.
Is there another level to Jalen
Petrie? I do. I believe there is.
He took a step up from, from last year.
Yeah.
And now is there another level?
I absolutely think there's another level, and I think it's a combination of him and D'Amico Ryans. We saw it go from being on the bench some of the time in critical situations in late 2023 to having a killer 2024, and you could see him game to game to game getting better and better and better and better. I think there's, I don't think he's playing at his ceiling at all. I think he can get significantly better. He'll always play with those instincts, and you see that, and that's what really shines for him. So I think he's going to be great in the pressure game. I think he's going to be great, you know, a great tackler that's good versus the run, and obviously in the open field tackling. Now, I do think I think his coverage can get better. I think his understanding of the defense can get better. I think his overall knowledge of NFL offenses can get better. And so, yeah, I think it starts with Jalen Petrie for me on the defensive side of the football and quickly gets to a guy named Christian Harris. Oh, those are the two for
hell,
me.
Well, hell yeah, for what he gave last year.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Whatever's going on with Christian Harris, like whatever, if we're just, let's not take into account that he only played 8% of the snaps or whatever the hell it was in the last two in the playoff games. Like just generally speaking, like if what you saw from him last year and what you saw from him this year, even if it was a small sample size, like they need him to be significantly better, and assuming he can stay healthy, then I would imagine that he will be significantly better. Those two guys for me are where it's at. Well,
I mean, yeah, Christian Harris just sure by games played
sure.
Should be right. I mean, and what we're talking about here is we saw him coming on 2 years ago, late, two seasons ago, coming on late, picking it up. Indy Kalu, somebody that I trust football, for understanding of football, said that this guy's Pro Bowl, All Pro level. That's what he thought he would see him under D'Amico coming up. He thought that he thought that's the potential of what he could be. And obviously with the injury, we didn't get to see a lot of that on here. Someone texted in Lassiter on defense. We'll see. I that's not the rookie I'd go with. I think there's another step for Bullock. I think there's another step of comfort with him with Kalen Bullock that he can reach. Right,
I think all the young guys can.
Yeah, Eric Murray, that's another good one that is a maxed out. I think we've seen the ceiling. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
I think the young guys naturally you can see more from. Right, so we can name any really young player or player that hasn't played a lot. But I mean, I think there's guys you start like Henry Toto.
I think he's maxed.
All right, yeah. Look, but he was tremendous this year. I mean, definitely the most improved player on the Texans team without a doubt. Is Henry Toa-Toa. And so I don't know that we get a significantly better or should expect a significantly better Henry Toa-Toa. I think he made his huge jump last offseason, right? I think it's about guys that have been in the league and maybe have either not developed, not improved, and it's time that they do. That's kind of how I couch my two guys, Christian Harris and Jalen Petrie.
All right.
The time is now.
Yeah, all right, go to the offensive side of the ball.
Good God, there's a bunch of them. Start with the big dog, CJ Stroud. I mean, CJ, to me, there's gotta be a moment.
Absolutely.
Like when this team, and I'm not even talking about like 2023 versus 2024 CJ Stroud. Forget about that conversation right now. With CJ, to me, where CJ Stroud can and needs to take the next step is overall ownership of the offense. Overall ownership of the situation. Right? And look, I don't know how much Bobby Slowick allowed him to do at the line of scrimmage. I would imagine that's part of some of the struggles between him and CJ Stroud. My word on the street is that he was limited in terms of what kind of freedom he had and what kind of control he had of the offense. But it's time for CJ Stroud to take over the Houston Texans offense, and it be C.J. Stroud's offense, and he handles the situations. You know, he handles and is more, assertive about. Again, I'm not asking him to be a leader that he isn't. I just don't think C.J. is a super vocal alpha leader. I'm asking and expecting C.J. Stroud to take control of the offense and not be so dependent on the right call being made.
All the time, yep. No, he definitely can take a step up.
Has to.
And you would expect coming from next year.
Absolutely has to. The next one here, it's Juice Scruggs. This team has a major problem on the interior offensive line. And there's several guys, Shaq Mason, Kenyon Green, like the ship has sailed on those guys for me. The one guy that could step up and continue, like, look, he wasn't great this year. The injuries were a problem. The communication was a problem at center. But he is a guy that I could see, okay, he is going to fill one of those three spots, guard, center, guard. He is going to fill one of those three spots. And he can be significantly better at one of those three spots than what we've seen him be. And this team desperately needs him to do that. Yeah. I don't know that I agree, Ron, with a lot of people that think just because he was drafted to be a center, he's going to be a center. The communication issues that were an obvious problem with Juice Scruggs, I don't know that a new system fixes that. Maybe the quarterback assistance, allowing the quarterback to have more freedom, fixes that a bit.
Yeah.
But that communication piece, I mean, there's a reason why we've seen undersized centers in this league year in, year out, be some of the better centers. And it's because it's less about the physical aspect of the game. You obviously have to be a damn player, but it's less about the physical aspect of it, more about the athlete and the communication side of things when you're a center. And so I think Juice Scruggs is a guy, whether it's a guard or center, he has to step up and take his game to the next level.
You got
to
definitely be patient with him, but it's just concerning because he gave it a shot at all three of those interior spots. And I guess maybe right guard where you were like, all right, that wasn't bad.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't.
Well, he's got, to me, again, this goes back to a lot of conversations we had when Bill O'Brien was here, right? Like, there's one thing when you have an offensive lineman, like what's my man, Joe Tooney, that can play center, guard, and tackle. And I played with one of the greatest, Larry Allen, was all pro. Was a pro bowler at every position, like except for center, I think. You know, if you got a guy like that, cool, let him go. Like Tytus Howard playing inside and out, I don't necessarily like it. It's not ideal, but cool with him playing multiple positions. To me, Juice Scruggs is a guy right now at this point in his career where you got to go, we want you to learn to play right guard. Left, whatever it is, right or left. I don't give a damn which one it is, right? Pick a position, guard, center, guard. We need you to perfect playing that position, all the mechanics and techniques that go with it, and let's ride. Like all this switching from the left side to the right side to center to communicating to this and that. Like it to me, he's a guy that you need to put him at a position. Like there's a reason why I think Shaq Mason was signed here to be the right guard and played nothing but right guard. So I think Juice is a guy that they need to do that with and let him ride, see what he can do.
You haven't said a name of somebody that
I got a few more on the list.
Here. Let's see.
You mean rattle them off and then let you run with whichever one you're talking about?
Let me see if let me see.
I got Damian Pierce, John Metchie, and Cade Stover. Who'd I leave out? Clearly it wasn't the guy you were thinking of.
No, it's not, but I'm thinking of those three. John Metchie. Yeah. I am more open to that now that the way the season kind of
Mitch,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
For a minute there, I was like, "Hey, man, this just might be where he is." There could be something else there. I'm there with Damian Pierce. I got, unless there is a different system that is maybe closer to whatever it was that they did in year one, maybe. But right now, I was hoping that his confidence would come back after last year, and I don't think it did in this system. So we'll see there. Cade Stover, definitely. But no, the one I was thinking about was, I know you ain't gonna like it, but Dalton Schultz has to be better than this.
Hey, you damn right.
Dalton.
Yeah, like, that's an elephant in the room. I apologize.
Like we're talking about somebody that can take a step up, right? That you're looking at, you can say, all right, hey, we're going to have to pull some. We can't just be free agents. We're going to have to pull some people. Dalton Schultz, to me, is somebody.
Absolutely. Should have been first on my list, by the way.
That you know is better than whatever he put out there. Hell, even if it's not just. Because the thing that, and I understand, especially if you listen to this show and you watched him, that pissed you off was his ability to be in any way physical in the run game or anything, pass protection, whatever. But the real thing was he wasn't that good in what it is that you brought him here to do.
His specialty. Like,
he wasn't that good in catching the football. Mm-hmm. And as you then started to point out later in the year, like, hey, man, there's no separation from linebackers or safeties. Dalton Schultz, to me, is better than the 400 yards receiving, especially with all the injuries that have gone down. Like, that to me, he is one right off the bat that I look at and say, now, look, man, they shouldn't be in there looking, having to go get, you know, the Warren kid in the first round and go and draft a tight end with all the needs they have. Dalton Schultz is better than that. I know he pisses off a lot of people. He is better than what he put forth. And he was a lot better the first year he was here. Like, I'm not even trying to find newfound Dalton Schultz. Be the dude that you was just 2 years ago. There has to be a difference in his play.
Yeah, no, you're right. That should have been the very first guy we talked about. I mean, he's so far off my radar. I'm so mad at him right now that it's
as a player.
Yeah, as a player that I left him off the list. But you are absolutely right. You want to talk about this game outside of C.J. Stroud? You want to talk about this team taking the next step? Well, you don't know who your number two wide receiver is going to be. It would be beautiful for Dalton Schultz to step up and be a $12 million a year tight end. And as you said, not even being more physical in the run game, just be the $12 million tight end that you're paid to be in the pass game.
Yeah, it would have helped tremendously. It would have felt a lot different if he had 800 yards this year. Like, yes. I'm just, you know what I'm saying, receiving. If like, all right, man. All right, I'm gonna trade this off. I know he might have some problems here, mm-hmm. but he'll go make a play. And you've said it, like, it's not just he dropped a couple.
Yeah.
There was some that hit his hands that he dropped. So to me, Dalton Schultz is someone that jumps out. Like, he's got, like, you gotta be able to get better out of your tight end position. All right, coming up as we continue here, Amen Thompson. He has started to really take off in this city and take off for the Rockets.
Tonight, baby.
They're back at it tonight. And it feels like he's the best player. We've heard Brandon Scott say that right now, the best player, or at least trending to be the best player on this team. Does he have the skill set? Who can he be? Who can he be? Does he have the skill set to be the best player on a championship caliber team? Who does he remind you of that's been that? We'll discuss that coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Upcoming at the bottom of the hour, Tyler's Turds list is coming up in just a bit, so stay tuned for that. We will have that very, very soon. And I'll be stepping in to be BOT Mill on the Turds list. So that should be fun. All right. Rockets, they're back at it. Had a well-deserved night off. And I believe you guys end up doing like a little Rockets post game, don't you?
Yeah. So every night after the Rockets game, we do an H-Town post game where we recap the game, break down what happened and all that good stuff. We also have Adam Spolane too. Just depends on if he's available or not. But yeah.
So every night, the little H-Town post-game show. So make sure you're doing that when you're listening to Area 45 Live and Local 6 to 10 every night after us. The story has been Amen Thompson. I said it earlier this week. Feels like in the last month he's grown in like dog years in terms of his play and his game, and you can really start to see it. And obviously this isn't the case right now, but you can see, to me, and maybe others have other opinions, but to me, of all the players, it looks like he is the closest one to me that could be a one or a two. And I mean one or a two on a championship contending caliber team. And still with that, as we talked to B. Scott yesterday, Clint, it's still hard when you look at his skill set to kind of compare that to. Right, you look at his skill, like, you know, if you look at Şengün, you'd say, all right, what's the skill set? Well, I mean, he looks like a poor man's Jokic, and that's what you would look at and say that would be it. I don't think he can be that, but you would look at his game and you could see it. Amen Thompson's game is just It's just not typically what you see out of a 1 or a 2. Now, his impact to the game is very much like that. What he does defensively, his ability to pass, his size at 6'7", and he is now finding his spots more and understanding what he's good at, and obviously his game has grown and gotten better. But what players? I see somebody texting in, Russell Westbrook, a bigger Russell Westbrook. Well, I don't know. We'll see. That's not a bad one. Someone said a young T-Mac, Tracy McGrady. I don't see that at all. But if we look at this, the last 5 years, Clint, guys that have been in the finals, teams that have been in the finals and their best players. And last year, Tatum or Brown, whoever you thought was the best player against the Mavs, and that's Luka. Before that, it was Jokic against Jimmy Butler. Before that, it was Steph Curry and Tatum. Those were the best players. Before that, it was Giannis, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, whichever way you go there, and then the Lakers, LeBron, and Jimmy Butler again. Like, over the last 5 years, those have been the best players on teams that have been in the finals. And someone texted, yes, the Scottie Pippen, you could see that. But is he close to any of those guys? To me, the closest one is Jimmy Butler. But I don't know. I don't know if that is his game. Jimmy's a great defender. He's a better passer, more of a passer, facilitator than Jimmy. I don't know if he's as good of a shooter or if he will grow to be that. That's probably the closest one on the list. But that's the weird thing. It's just his skill set, Clint, just it's not really much of reminding you of players that you think are ones.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. Before we ever had this conversation, I'm sticking to my guns, too. I know y'all disagree, but I'm sticking to my damn guns. Like, any of these guys, clearly, Amen Thompson's got some development, some maturity, and some improvement to get to any level of any of these guys, no matter who you pick. To me, it's Brown. Like, I was thinking this before.
Right, for the Celtics, Brown?
Yeah, because I was thinking, who could this guy be? And now a lot of that has to do with M.A. Doka letting him bring the ball up the floor and you know, do some different things. And so it's going to be somebody that, you know, is that 6'6", 6'7", a bigger-bodied guy that can play defense. Now, I'll be honest, as you know, Ron, you know I've talked about it, as a casual basketball fan, I've never looked at Brown and thought, man, this dude is a break the bank, back up the Brinks truck.
Until he won the MVP last year.
There's moments. Don't get me wrong. He's clearly a great player. I've never watched him and just been like, boy, this guy is top of the top. And again, back the Brinks truck up. I think he's obviously a top player in the league. He's very good. There's several players that I would personally put above him. But I think Amen Thompson, to me, when I watch their games, the little I've watched Brown, I think there's a chance he could be in that cut.
Jaylen Brown. I want to see if he grows as the shooter. I think and I wonder if he'll get that big to the size that Jaylen.
Jaylen's got 20 pounds on him right now. There's no doubt.
Yeah, if he can play in that game that big. I think he's. I think he's a better defender than Jaylen Brown is now. And can do more and can guard more. The offensive game, I wonder if he can get, like, that's the other artist. We don't know what kind of shooter he'll turn into. I look at that from the text line. Oh, I love it when it starts with this. Y'all need to do your homework on the Rockets basketball. Amen Thompson has been amazing all year. Who's said he hasn't? The national media is just picking up on it. He can never be a one, or he can never be a two. He can't shoot. He can only be a 1 or a 3. We don't mean within an offense. We don't mean point guard, shooting guard.
Not the position.
No, we mean like a number one, like a LeBron on a team, a Steph Curry on a team, a Giannis, a Jokic. That's why we just went through these players.
Good job. You got four different positions. Give me a true point guard?
Steph,
and did you? Yeah. Okay, well, you give me a shooter too now. You can't put Steph in that guy. I know you can, but
I look at it right here. I mean, Booker was a two.
Okay, there you go. Like, I just want you to hit. Give me five. I just wanted one of each position. I see how good you are.
I mean, my man right here with the. I love that. What do you think we do? just sit on our asses. It's just nothing. This man right here on the other side of glass does an H-Town post game every night. Y'all should watch more Rockets basketball. This ain't no reason to get contentious.
You're on Jimmy Butler too?
Nah, I can see the Jimmy Butler, but I think he's a better passer than Jimmy, and I want to say probably right now a better defender than Jimmy. Maybe during Jimmy Butler's younger
just
years,
because
maybe
of
now
what he can do, more.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, overall rebound, pass. I mean, get to his spots. I mean, just defend 1 through 5, all that stuff. I mean, he's just unbelievable.
We
man.
Talked about this a little bit with Brandon, and he brought up one, Chris, that I thought was interesting, and people are saying it here on the text line. Lopez apparently said it according to the text line too, and that is Kawhi.
Yo, somebody brought that up yesterday.
Kawhi, again, we'll see what kind of size. Like, it's just hard when you think of, when you look at, like, that's the thing. When you look at Kawhi and Brown, you're like, the size, man. He just looks thinner. But who knows? I mean, he's really, really young. He could put on yeah. weight and get stronger. But Kawhi couldn't. When he came out of San Diego,
he couldn't shoot, right?
He couldn't shoot. No, he was broke. And really, he is. I still don't know his jump shot. I still don't know how that some of that goes in with them big ass hands he's got.
Well, the thing is, he developed his mid range.
And that's the thing. And we're starting to see that from
exactly.
men.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that one's a good one. And he was definitely someone who could defend everything, but centers. Like he was a great yeah. defender, because that's what he was early. Whenever he won that first MVP against the Heat, it was more of his. Defense.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a video of LeBron like looking back at the at whenever he was checking in. He was just like, "Oh man, like he's checking in."
That's unnecessary. And completely,
he can't admit it.
It's just it was. First,
Chris,
it was not
I wish you did that on.
We're
purpose.
Talking about Kawhi Leonard and you, and now you're gonna make he's checking in like he was scared of Kawhi. Like it was completely unnecessary.
But you, I'm a LeBron fan, so don't take it personal.
Personal. I do. I
wish Chris did that on purpose. I'd think more of you.
Taller. Someone said taller Westbrook. I don't know.
See, to me, there's more. The guys you mentioned, like even Kawhi, like there's a more calculated game to Kawhi. And maybe that's because he's older and more mature and more developed. Like, I'm in Thompson strikes me as a guy that's going to be more like Russ and just balls to the wall all the time. That's like his brand.
I don't know.
Maybe
I don't get just like up and down crazy. There's like he's young, but there's some level of patience that he has that I think earlier than he did. The Russ thing is, it's harder when you say a taller Russ, because like a men's great trait right now is his defense and his ability to guard several different positions. And when you say a taller Russ, well, hell, that's getting from 6'3 to 6'7, right? Like that's completely changing who the player is. I do think if he grabs that patience that maybe Kawhi plays with, I think the first one you named, Jaylen Brown, kind of has learned that patience too. I mean, yeah, like. He was breakneck. I mean, Russ, him and Derrick Rose, they were just up and down. I don't get that.
Right? I mean, those are two of the best athletes I've ever watched exist
a good
in
one,
any sport.
A good one. Someone saying he's what Ben Simmons was supposed to be. Amin attempts threes, so it's hard for me to even.
Yeah, that is true.
You know, that man went high school, college, NBA. Now, granted, he only played 1 year in college, but he went – like his first 5 years in the NBA, he had only taken 2 threes in that time period.
Well, yeah, I remember that.
High school, college, and the NBA. He's a guard. I think he took 1 3 at LSU, and I think it was the time was running out, and he had to waste it up. I gotta give my man a man more respect than that. All right, we'll do Tyler's turds list. We'll see if I agree with these. I will be fair and try my best. But Tyler's turds list without him coming up next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I love it, man. See more people jumping in. I think we're just going to do this now. since my man said he's what Ben Simmons was supposed to be. People are just sending things in. Josh Allen is what Jamarcus Russell was supposed to be. Someone said, I'll see myself out. Yeah, we're just gonna keep doing that there. No, but love the interaction. And we love trying to bring you the best. And speaking of that, we're gonna try to bring you the best coverage next week. We will be out in New Orleans, all three shows, in Area 45 for Patrick. Unfortunately, we'll not be able to be there. I just feel like I need to take pre shots of before I hear whatever it is that Patrick had to say about your boy that Clint is telling me I will hear in a matter of moments. But we'll be out there trying to bring you the best coverage, and shout out to our good friends at Yuengling, as they will they'll help support us to get down there and bring you guys the best coverage, as well as the great people at Low T Center. We'll have some great guests, along with the people at Exclusive Furniture, who will help us as well on this trip, and Mo Karam Injury Lawyers as well. Everybody who has taken part to allow us to get to New Orleans for the big game, to help bring you the best coverage that we possibly can in H-Town. It'll be a good time in New Orleans. And also, with that, check out our social medias. Sports Radio 610 social media, from IG to Twitter, to everything, as we'll give you some behind the scenes stuff as well, like we did last year. Cam Newton stopped by and was yelling and stuff, and it was some good content as he walked by in Radio Row. So it'll be a fun time. So stay tuned. Next week we will bring you the best coverage that we have and we're able to bring out there. All right. Let's do a little of the turds. Let's do a little Tyler's turd list.
Pro athletes are sometimes a lot to handle.
We're just not good enough.
Maybe even a bit dramatic.
Altuve stole an MVP from Judge.
Turdish behavior will not be ignored. No one is safe.
I'm not going to let it take my joy.
It's Tyler's Turds of the Week on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, let's do it. Tyler's Turd List. And we got to get this thing sponsored so we can say Tyler's Turd List sponsored by, and there's so many great, great potential sponsors.
Dude Wipes would be a great one.
To go with the idea of Tyler's Turd List. But let's start here. Tyler, if you missed it, he is out. He's at the Magic Kingdom enjoying himself. We will step in for him. The bronze for Tyler's Turd List. He goes with Alex Bregman's agent, the notorious Scott Boras, as he says, "Bruh, LOL, this saga needs to end." Just keeping it real professionally is what he has to say, is between him and Dana Brown. And this is interesting. I thought, I thought the Alex Bregman thing was decided. I thought we had seen that he would move on. And I guess when I think about this, as I see it, I think this turd can go, I don't know, maybe to Bregman, both of them. I thought this would be determined. But do you think this is a situation in which Bregman has a better offer out on the table? Or do you think that what the Astros originally offered is the best thing that he has out there, and that's why this thing hasn't gotten done yet?
Well, I think it's probably one or the other, in a sense of the other offers out there have to either not be as long from a year perspective, not be a 6-year or more than a 6-year, or let's say more than enough years above 6 years to make Bregman happy, or the money per year isn't there. For some reason, Scott Boras finds it necessary to entertain the Astros, whether it's legitimately and he's talking to Brown and there are negotiations, or he's just lobbing it out there and he's playing the negotiation game with another team. Either way it goes, the fact that the Astros are so public about this and the offer is out there, and the Astros are saying our offer is what it is, we're not changing it, the only reason to bring the Astros back into it is if the Astros are legitimately interested and if Alex Bregman is legitimately interested. This strikes me as a, hey, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to test the market. The market isn't what Bregman thought it was going to be or what Boris thought it was going to be. And now Bregman's in a spot of, hey, man, is whatever they're offering over and above what the Astros are offering, is that enough for me to go somewhere that doesn't have a proven track record of having great chemistry and playing above your ceiling and winning and a great coaching staff kind of deal, great developmental staff, leaving my city where I've been my whole career? Like, is the hill worth the climb? Or I'm sorry, is the view worth the climb in a new place? To me, that's where this is at with Bregman and Boris. Is this a, boy, I thought I was leaving the Astros for 2 or 3 more years and 4 or 5 million per more than they've offered, and that's really not the case.
I agree with Scott Boris, Bregman, whoever it is, feel like they've had to crawl back to the Astros. Like that. That is, and with the Astros already making it, it feels like they've had to crawl back to the Astros. So Scott Boris, Alex Bregman is Tyler. This is Tyler's turn list. This is not mine.
I agree with that one, man.
Cool. Yeah, I'm fine with it. He gets the bronze. All right, the silver. Silver medal. I clearly believe Tyler did this to try to make me happy, just to make me upset. His silver medal goes to Travis Kelce for flopping in the AFC title game one game after Mahomes flopped in the divisional game versus the Texans. LOL. I'll be honest, I didn't even know there was any flop talk with Travis Kelce until Aaron Rayburn came in and said something the other day. I had missed that flop. And then I went back, I rewatched it, and when he got headbunted by whoever the defensive player was,
Damar Hamlin.
Yeah, and he it was the other guy.
It was a big line that jumped in.
Now, listen, I can't tell. Maybe I'm sure he probably sold it a little big. He threw his head back like people do. I don't know, man. But it looked like he came in with a nice little headbutt. I don't know. I'm sure he sold it a little bit. Got the call, got the flag. But that fool's an idiot for going over there and doing it. That's his silver medal. I clearly don't agree with.
You don't agree with it?
No.
Well, I'll be. I didn't know this was for you to agree
with.
I'm just saying. Yeah, no, look, I saw it, and I knew immediately when it happened. I went, oh, here we go. I know this is going to get attention. I know it's going to get talked about. And the thing is, I think Travis Kelce, he was laughing at himself when he did it. I don't. The guy was going to get a flag, whether it ain't like the flop drew the flag or it wasn't even a flop. It was more, I think it was more just the action.
Do you view that different from as flops? Like a guy walking up, because we see that all the time. A guy come up and do something,
yes,
and sell a call.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I think there's, to me, what changes the game when we're talking about flopping is, in football anyways, like when the league's doing everything they can to protect quarterbacks and now you flop to clout, to muddy the waters, to me that's where, I mean, we're doing a disservice to the game. Like the thought of whether it's a quarterback or not, and you're standing around a pile and you punch a guy in the ribs, not really, but you do something to incite him to push you back and he acts on it and then you flop back over it, like that's almost laughable stuff. Like that's almost like I can't believe you let that guy get you type stuff. You know what I mean? Like if it's not in the course of action like that, I mean, I can't believe that guy got so mad
that he walked over
at Travis Kelce for taking up for Pat Mahomes that he walked over and even contacted his helmet. To make it, like, what are we doing? What are you doing, you idiot? Like the in play stuff is a whole different animal. But when it's that, it's almost funny to me.
All right, that is a improper silver medal to Travis Kelce for his. You see me on YouTube.
Quote, air quotes.
Well, it's his flop. In the AFC title game. All right, gold medal. And I 100% agree with him. His gold medal goes to head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Liam Coen.
Duval.
Because of that.
Duval.
Like, that's becoming too much, because he not only did that, there was another video that I saw him do where hell, there was 100, 200 people behind him all doing the Duval. And he, I mean, I just said, good God.
Man. I thought that one was better. I thought that,
no, that one was better. That was obviously, it wasn't just
the,
him.
That was obviously the Jaguars employees that he was doing it with. The whole thing, though, it wasn't that real smooth, almost trying to be suave type Duval. It was legit just a yell, I think, and everybody yelled it with him.
At least they were.
Yeah, I don't. This gold
it was
is,
less nerd alert for him.
Gold is strong here.
You did.
Gold is strong here for him.
I don't know.
I mean, there's a level of like you when he you do that when you do that you got to be stuck. You got to, you know, there ain't no doubt. It came off. I'll tell you what. It came off real douchebaggy. Like that. That's it for me. Like, he may go on and be a great head coach, but it, when you look at Dan Campbell, like, Dan Campbell came off real meatheadish back then. We're talking about biting the knee and all.
Bite
that,
the kneecap
right?
off.
Right. Which I know, Dan. That's Dan. Too. That's own brand for him. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, just
take your other
rough
kneecap.
Around the edges, raw. Just yeah. And that's.
He better be an offensive genius.
Amen. Yes. Agreed. This comes. You either got a chance. You do this right here. You got a chance to be real sexy, real cool, or you got a chance to be straight douchebag. And I would say Liam Cohen. And I don't even have the Jaguar hate that Tyler just cannot get out of the equation here. I don't care about that part of it.
Duval.
Yeah, my man. The head nod. The head. Like, all he needed to do was wink. All he needed to do was wink, and it was straight creep, man.
He went.
Went with the gun too.
The wink and the gun. He has honorable mentions. Honorable mention for me. What's Stewart's first name with the Pistons?
Isaiah Stewart.
Isaiah Stewart.
Tyler would have added him.
Yesterday, Isaiah Stewart, who, this ain't his first rodeo, right? He has been here. And if you've not seen the video, Thomas Bryant for the Pacers in those bad uniforms they were wearing last night that just say Indy across and doesn't have any of their color scheme. I mean, at least the current one. Just there's a rebound going up, and Isaiah Stewart doesn't even. I mean, I guess he turned around to box him out, but he just turns around, dude's at the 3-point line, and just hits him with a forearm shiver to the throat, high chest area. I mean, just took him down. This wasn't no flop. Took him down, and then he gets obviously ejected, but he's on the other end while he's still ejected as they're looking at the play. And then he's just pointing down to the other side.
Air gun.
To Thomas Bryant. And the look in his eyes don't look like he's about to go pull a Nerf gun out. Like, he's got a look of like, yeah, man, I'm going to be waiting. Like, what are you doing? What the hell are you doing? Take your ass off. I'm not kidding you. I'd suspend his ass 15, 20 games. Because he's a repeat offender. One of his offenses was on LeBron James, which should have got him fired.
I knew there was something behind this.
But for real, you can't like that. You can't have that. I mean, I think
you can't attack. You can't attack LeBron, and you can't shoot. You can't shoot air guns. Well,
you also can't throw shiver.
It looked like a wrestling move.
And I mean like Greco-Roman, not WWE, like not one where people didn't know was coming, and you just come down. I mean, he looked in the eyes. He looks nuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
When he's doing it, like
I always say, he's one of them cats. When I see him, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if he ain't killed somebody in the past.
Those of you have ever seen the movie Juice, he had the crazy looks of Tupac's character Bishop. I'll shoot you and laugh.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, I mean, bro, just don't care. You standing there, like, he looked like ain't no coach can get to him. Hell, you get him. Hell, I'm not getting him. That's why old Monty Williams left. Get up out of there. What you got coming up at the 4? I think you need to check. There's some news that is close, near and dear to you coming up that I'm sure you want to get into. But anyway, what you got coming up?
That's a hell of a tease right there. I'm gonna have to look into that. Looks like the Texans got a little news. It looks like they've got another individual that they are interviewing. Yeah, another local guy right here, and I've also got a little dirt. It's dirty's daily, man, and I got the scoop. Patrick Creighton, I believe, is going to have Ron the Show Hughley.
No chance.
Hotter than a firecracker. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.